Tal Vayigash starts off with the famous meeting of Yosef and his brothers. Yosef reveals himself to his brothers. After 22 years of being separated from his brothers, the climax which was reached in this week's parasha, Yosef reveals himself to his brothers and says, Ani Yosef ha'oid avichai, I am Yosef, is my father still alive? So the obvious question is, right, that's for sure. But the obvious question is, Rabbi Isai, what was Yosef saying to his brothers? Ha'oid Ovi Chai, is my father still alive? Chazal say, but this was the teichacha that Yosef HaTzadik gave to his brothers. What was the meaning of this teichacha that Yosef was telling his brothers? Where is the teichacha? Ani Yosef, hey, I'm Yosef, Ha'oid Avichai, my father's still alive. Where exactly we see the words of teichacha, reproof that Yosef is being mochichda? Chazal Tarshin on this, that Yosef here was giving tremendous teichacha that they couldn't answer him. Where is exactly the teichacha? And the Beis HaLevi has a gewaldig mahalach. Those who want to look in the Sefer Beis HaLevi has a beautiful mahalach. He has many other kashas. I'm taking out one of the kashas and we want to say another mahalach Beis Hashem. Part of the question also is, what does it mean, ha'oid avichai? I mean, Yosef, you weren't listening to what your brothers told you till now. They had gone back. They had brought Binyamin. And when they came back, they had told them what their father had said. They didn't go back in between. So what is he asking, ha'oid avichai? They had told them when they came back. The father's alive. And he sends regard, whatever. They had told him, Avdecho. So what is he asking, Ha'oid Avichai? And thirdly, what's the Lashon Ha'oid Avichai? What's Avi, my father? You should say, Ha'oid Avinu Chai. I forgot the nigger from last. Ha'oid Avinu Chai. No, from last night. Yeah. Anyway, yeah, not now. Right. Very good, so beautiful. Anyway, so those are the three or four kash that we have so far. Next, moving right along in the parasha, we have a few more ha'aris. They come to Mitzrayim, as we said before, and Yosef tells them to go back and bring down Yaakov Avinu, bring down our father Yaakov Avinu. He sends presents. And he sends agolos, wagons also. Now these wagons are very, very important, as we'll see in a minute. The brothers come up from Mitzrayim. They come back to Yaakov Avinu to announce to him, to mevasa to him, the greatest besura. For 22 years, this man, Yaakov Avinu, Helek Yaakov Avinu, sitting in Avelus. Because the Metzia says that a dead person's forgotten after 12 months, that he was alive. And therefore, he wasn't forgotten. Yaakov Avinu was sitting there, mamish, with white hairs, and such Avelus. And now they're coming to announce to him. They're coming to pronounce to him the greatest besura that a man could hear, that his dead son, who thought was dead, he's alive. Put it on the net. He's alive. Not the. Anyway. Can you imagine? Can you imagine, Rabbi Isai? The picture the scene. The 12 brothers come over, and they want to do it in a certain way. They prepare beforehand how to say it, because obviously he's an older person, but they're ready to tell it over. And what happens? Vayagidu loy. They come back. They come back to their father. Vayagidu loy. They say to him, Lamor. Oid Yosef Chai. Yosef is alive. B'chivu Moishel, b'chol Eretz Mitzrayim. You should know, not only is he alive and well, he's in charge of the Ganze Yitzrayim. Zok the Pasuk, an unbelievable Zach. Vayofeg Liboy, ki loy ha'emin lohem. His heart skipped a beat. And a shtickel har chas v'shom iruah lev ki loy ham in lohem. He did not believe them. The brothers tzaddikei oilam. And can you imagine how they prepared before to tell their father in all seriousness, in all thing. He doesn't believe. He doesn't believe them. What does that mean? He doesn't believe them. Yaakov Avinu is waiting for Bisu. He doesn't know what's doing with his son. But he doesn't believe that what they thought they were joking around. That was a nice one, Reuven. You have any other ones? Yeah, you ever heard the one about the two rabbis that they... Did you ever hear the one about the rabbi who's a big balda... jokes? Not serious? The brothers, Tzaddikei Olam. And they're telling him one of the most serious things. They're telling him something that he doesn't believe them. What does that mean? He doesn't believe them. What did they just said? Oh, this is going to be a joking matter. This is something they're not serious about. So you say maybe they had an ear to lie to him about. He didn't send them down to get Yosef. So what's pshat? Lo yamin la. Vayidabru Eilov is called Divrei Yosef. So then they tell him over everything that Yosef told him. Asher Dibre Yitom. Aleihem. Vayas ha'agolos asher sholach Yosef aseis oisoi. He sees the agolos v'atechi ruach Yaakov Avim. They start telling him. Yosef now had told him over what to tell them. And we'll see in Rashi. And now... Yaakov gets life. What happened over here? What was the Abbasura? What did he tell them from Yosef that brought life to him? Those are the Kashis Rabbi Sai. And the Mahalik Rabbi Sai, we want to say like this. The Mephoshim say, the Svarim say a Mahalik, we want to just apply it to the Kash that we had before. But over here already, the Alopia and other Mephoshim say this Mahalik. That's a big yisoid of a son. Yaakov Avinu didn't think, that's for sure, they were joking around. It's not a joking matter to tell a father who's missing his son, to tell a father who's waiting, he's living his life. And his son is missing, to go ahead and tell him a line like that. Yaakov Avinu doesn't think they're joking around, they're not serious, they're not telling him the truth. I don't believe that he had any havamina, that they were trying to tell him a non-truth over here. Avada, he trusted there what they were saying. He didn't think they were trying to be not serious and joking. But... there is an aspect over here, Rabbi Yisrael. They had said not only that Yosef was alive, they added to that word. What did they say? He's ruling over Egypt. Oh! Here's where it came difficult, Rabbi Yisrael. Because we have to know, Rabbi Yisrael, when you're talking, when you go to Egypt, if you try to go to the bank and talk to them in Hebrew, well, I don't know if you'll make it back, Rabbi Yisrael. Because that language doesn't go over well, Ivrit, in Egypt. But let's say you talk Chinese. If you talk Chinese in Egypt, I think there'll also be a problem in the bank. If you go to a foreign country and try to talk English, me no speak the English here. The Dominican Republic, we don't speak English here. You got to try to say the words in that language. They're not going to understand. You try to, sometimes you go to these Israelis, and you know, the guy has what is broken here. Ani rotziti chashavti shani ye'erze lalechet shalachti lemakom she... The guy says, what do you, ma tomer? And the English guy breaks his teeth. Ani chashavti shirotziti shani ye'erze shani... Like he does past, present, and future in Hebrew. And the taxi driver says, you know what, just speak English already. You sound like an imbecile. I don't know what you're saying. You know, the taxi driver, he doesn't understand you. He doesn't know what you're saying. So just say Geula. But at the end of the day, if you don't speak the language, the person is not going to know what you're saying. There's a certain language that Yaakov Avinu understands, and that's Torah language. In Torah language, their statement made no sense. What's wrong with their statement? Because we know what he's saying about that. What is the pirish of the word chai? There's a thing called chayim, and there's a thing called moves. Life, and there's death. What's the taich of life? What's the taich of death? The Gemara in Brachos Yudches says, Tzadikim afilo b'misosom kruyim chayim. Tzadikim, even in their death, are alive. If they'll explain that. And Rishoyim afilo b'chayim nikroyim misos meis. They're called meis. You can have a person that's physically alive. He's eating, he's breathing, his bodily functions are there, but he's dead. He's considered a dead person. The Gemara says, cremate him. That is the sort of Torah. Torah Akhtosha taught us that life and death is not totally if your heart is pumping. Life and death is not totally if there's air coming out of your nostrils. Life and death is not totally if you're eating a steak, or you're eating a hamburger, or an shawarma, and the tchina is dripping down the side of your mouth. Life and death is not totally if a guy is in a bed. In fact, Chazal say that Shina is 1/60th of Misa. How do we understand that, Rabbi Sam? The Misa, you'll ask any doctor, get Dr. Bernstein with his bifocals, the head neurosurgeon in Columbia Medical School, and you ask him, a person that's asleep, what's his status biologically? He says he's alive. What do you mean? Let's put those brain waves on, attach those things to his brain, put a thing on his head. When he's sleeping, they do a lot of experiments today. But there's a thing called, what's that thing, a sleep disorder called, anybody know the name of it? Sleep apnea, very good. Sleep apnea, insomnia, also, how do they do it? They test the guy when he's sleeping. They put some machines on his head. I also come in the room, a lot of guys have machines on their head. Also, they may be doing a sleep apnea test. I tend to think it's maybe something else. But anyway, it's more the insomnia thing. It keeps them up all night. But anyway, the sleep apnea test, They do it while a guy's sleeping, the brain wave, what's going on. So if you go to any medical team and they evaluate the matzah of this guy at the status when he's asleep, he's still fully alive. His heart is pumping, he's breathing, all his physical aspects are going. So what's going on? Why does Chazal say it's 1/60th of death? What's the pshat, boy? So why is it 1/60th of death? Sorachir, but that's what Chazal say. Gevaldik. The Maisa, do you say that Dvar means that in the language of the Torah, alive means an attachment to Torah? That's the type of alive. If you look in the Jewish, in the Torah dictionary, of what it means alive, Chayim. Alive is an attachment to Torah. You're attached to Torah. And if you're not attached to Torah, you're dead. Now you might be functioning, you might be living, you might be surviving, but are you living? Are you really living? That's the Shiloh by side. Where is he holding and is living? Surviving? Heart pumps? Brain waves? Nostril blows? Ear waves? The ear, the nose, the eyes, everything's going. But in his essence, he's not alive, according to the Torah. The Gemara says, an unbelievable Zachra Boisai. The Gemara says, that if a person, Gemara in Pesachim, you can look it up, an unbelievable Gemara, the Gemara says you're not allowed to go, you know, the person's not supposed to go to a non-Jewish barber. That's why Baruch Hashem, we have Moshe Erber in the yeshiva. Anybody wants to advertise with a Moshe. But anyway, you're not supposed to go to a non-Jewish barber. We're worried of what? There's a chashash, he might kill you. He has a sharp weapon, he has a sharp chafet in his hand, object in his hand he's working with, and he might just miss your hair and end up cutting your jugular. So you don't go to him. Today, he's going, yeah, especially he wants to use a razor. You know, you guy, when you fell asleep in the chair, you woke up, a nose job. Your nose is missing a little bit. He's going for your mustache. Sorry about that. Anyway, but he won't be careful, and who knows? And also, the same thing, everybody say, with a guy, you're not allowed to go private. He's not allowed to escort you on the way. You have to be very careful not to go with Goyim on the way. The Gemara brings you out from Esav. We learn from Esav that Yaakov said, well, let's go together. Let's travel together. Yaakov said, no, you go ahead. You go far ahead. And I'll meet you up over there when we get to Seir. The Maaseh of what happened, at the end of the day, he went and Yaakov never showed up. Maaseh, the Gemara of what Israel learns out from here, that when you're going with a goy, you should always do that. If a goy says, we will travel together, he said, no, yeah, I'm going to, you should always extend the way where you're going, let him go there. And Lamaiz Soif Shalgova, the famous Maiz, they said with the Panovich Rav, that he was once on a trade, Panovich Rav used to travel to collect money, please close the door. He used to travel to collect money for his yeshiva. So when he used to travel to collect money for his yeshiva, so he would go towel by the subway system. So he was once traveling late at night, and he was on the train, and he saw these guys that didn't look like Yeshiva Bachar from the Mir, who got onto the train. They had their faces were colored, a different color. And it wasn't shoe polish either. Anyway, they got on the train, these big guys, looking, you know, with a big box, and they were looking to box also. So they came over to the thing, and they knew it was late at night, and they came over to the Panovich Rav, and he knew what they were after. He didn't think they were coming over to learn Mishnah Berurah with the Panovich Rav. So the Panovich Rav said to them, before they came over, he said, "Do you know where in East the stop for East 8th Street is?" "Yeah," they said, it's like two stops down. You know, it's like a few stops down. So, you know, it's all that. So he put in their mind that he's getting off at about East 8th Street. So they obviously they on the train people could walk in. They knew over there. He understood that it'll be private. So this way they'll wait till he gets off at East 8th. And so they went to sit down in their seat. And when it came to East 8th Street, they got off. He started moving, so they saw, you know, and they got off the train quickly, waiting for him. But he walked very, very slow. And what do you know? As the train was about to close, he like sat down, and they were off the train already. And he used this chokhmah that the Gemara teaches us: with a goy, always extend the way. Don't mislav with a goy in the derech. A goy is very dangerous. But you want to tell you a bigger chiddush, Rosh Hashanah. The Gemara says in Pesachim Memtes, not only with a goy, but with the Am Haaretz, a Yid, he's the Am Haaretz. He doesn't learn any Torah. The Gemara says in Pesachim, you're not allowed to go with him on the way. And I always have a problem with this Gemara, Rabbi Sai. You go with certain taxi drivers, and I have nothing against them, Rabbi Sai. But certain taxi drivers, you go in, you get into the cab, take me to Bnei Brak, take me to Tel Aviv. The guy, Lamaisa, the Gemara says, you're not allowed to go with him on the way. And unless you see the Gemara come to life with some of these taxi drivers. What does the Gemara say? The Gemara says, Al Chayev Ein Achos. He's not worried about his own life. Should he worry about your life? And you see this sometimes. The guy's driving 140 kilometers per hour, talking on his cell phone, but not on the board. It's in his hand. Look, Mom, no hands. He's driving with his knees. And he's smoking a cigarette. And he's turning back to talk. He said, the other way, man. He still has manishma, and he has one other hand on the wheel, and he's eating, you know, the papillas. He's spitting them out. He hits you in the eye with one, you know, with a watermelon seed. He's spitting them out. And also, he has that. His mouth is occupied. His ears occupied. He's talking on the phone. He's talking to you, and he's looking in other direction. And he has his knee on the wheel, and he's screaming, and he's driving 140 kilometers per hour. And you're sitting in there. I've gone to some of these kids. I said, you're holding on to anything. I could get a arm. I hold on to his neck. You're holding on to anything. You get your hands on. These guys, mom is crazy. They're cutting off. I was going with Shlomi. We're going to the cousin. There's no way you drive. So this guy, you take a taxi drive. I'm not saying, oh, Chazam Shlomi. So he was more of a... That's it. They just drive into you. So you let them go. That's how you get your way. You just drive in. Each car, you just drive into the guy. And he has to stop automatically. So they're driving into people, like 140 on the curves. He's curving like this, and he's looking the other direction. Give me those ears, you know, keep those ears. He's looking the other way. He's on curves, 150 miles an hour. And you're like, mom is going out of yourself. The first time I came out, I was going out of my Caleb. You know, he has his hair, chest open up. He's smoking, you know, time. He has, you have any time, I think? He's smoking two cigarettes at a time, popping papaya nuts and going into the bag, looking at the bag. Talking this and your mamish, it's mamish sakana, and then you look at the Gemara and you say, you know what? It's before Shu Gemara. You don't have to come. Everything's in the Gemara. The Gemara says, you know, and it's a so you ask me, what's the head to go on cab drive? The answer is, I don't know. Maybe I don't have to go from my house to yeshiva. You could do it. Even that, I'm not so sure. But the mice is not so posh. Why the Gemara says, Achayev Ein Achos. He's not worried about his own life. He's not going to worry about your life. If you're not allowed to go in the way, maybe today, because he's worried about the Mishtara catching, maybe today there's a Svara that you get out. But those times he just traveled by wagons, there was no thing, maybe today that's a Svara. But the Gemara says he's not worried about his own life. So how is he not worried about his own life? So says the Gemara, Muria the Gazach, Sof Rashi, he doesn't care about his own life, because he doesn't study Torah, which is Ki Yuchayecha Baruch Yomecha. So what's Pshat, Rabbi said? Let's think deep into this Gemara. What do you mean he doesn't care about his own life? What do you mean? He has a wife. He has kids. He has a family. He has a nice house in Ranana. What do you mean? What do you mean? He doesn't care about his life. The Teretz is He doesn't care about real life. When it comes down to the day, he's ready to give up his life for traveling a little faster. He's ready to give up his life for another watermelon seed. Because he doesn't value true life. What is true life? If we understood what true life is, we understood in a second of Torah how much we can accomplish, how much what life is really about. Life is so precious. Life is so holy. Life, you can climb to such madrigas. Life is, Torah imbues a person with the feeling that life is special, that I'm not just a body. If you're just a body, so the body is alive today, you're in a neshama Torah. You have a spiritual, that's who you really are. And that's who you are, so it's worth so much. And that spiritual has a tafkid, and you have to accomplish in this world. And every second of Torah, and every mitzvah that I do, I build it up, and I grow, and I make this neshama so pure and so great, and it keeps growing, rising and rising. But if I don't value life, if life's just about a body, feeding it today and fighting it tomorrow, and there's no growth, maybe this way, but not in spiritual. So okay, so I'm in the mood for some watermelon seeds or some garinim shells or garinim seeds, and that's it. So he doesn't miss it. He dies. He doesn't die. What does he care to live so much? Batson, in the depth of it, what does he really care? So to have another anah, he had the anah already. What does he care about life? But if life is growth, if life is spirituality, if life is an opportunity to raise yourself to a tremendous level, if life is to take that neshama and conquer the world with it, if life is to bring out kutchevrich in this world, that's what life is, and I have a tafkid. So every day is precious, every hour is precious. Every second is precious. They tell a story, a friend tells a story that there was a certain person that was mamish on a machine for a long time, and everybody wants to just pull the plug already. What are you keeping him alive for? He's half dead. He's totally dead. What are we keeping him alive? And that's a big question today. Famous Shiloh, people always ask, what do we keep these people alive? There was a story about a certain that person was alive, he was like in a shtickle coma or whatever, and the family was saying, let's just pull it already, pull the plug, no, this is not life. So first we have to understand, every yisroel that person has in this world, it takes away, the next world he has a free, which is forever and ever. We've spoken the last rules, whatever he takes in this world, whatever yisroel he has down here, it's nothing. He has a free sky, a free way in the next world. Tremendous schar. It takes away all the avirs. He doesn't have to go. But in this story, this person woke up erev Shabbos. He opened his heart. He said, "Good Shabbos." And then a few days later, he passed on. Says Rav Frank, can you imagine if he would have pulled the plug earlier? Rav Kiva Eger holds that saying "Good Shabbos" is a shtickle Kabbalah Shabbos. According to Kivei, give Yotzi Kabbalah Shabbos by that. A person is Makabal Shabbos, that mitzvah person, we don't understand one mitzvah. What's the worth of one mitzvah? The Gemara says, Chazal say, that the Goyin explains it, the Gemara says, that the reason why we say, B'schar mitzvah b'hai al-maleka, reward for a mitzvah is not given in this world. So everybody tells you, why can't it be given in this world? I'll tell you why, Because the war, you get the war in the next world. You don't get it down here, you get it down there. The Vilna Gaon says something much, much more deeper. He says, you know why? Because there's nothing in this entire world that could pay for one mitzvah. Nothing. There is no physical price tag. There is no price tag, says the Vilna Gaon, on one mitzvah. If a person mekabel Shabbos, he says, good Shabbos, and that he was Makabal Shabbos. There is nothing in this world. So this man stayed alive for a few extra hours to say the words, good Shabbos, and there was nothing in this world that could pay him back for that. The eternal reward is amazing. And that's why we keep these people going on the machines of Boisai. Because every second of life, It's an eternal life. And even if he's not doing anything, the Yisurim, whatever it is, that gets cleanses him and he gets more schar. But they're the Yisurifashal Dover. The definition of life, of living, is somebody that's living a chaye ruchni, a spiritual life. If he's living only physical, he's considered, according to Chazal, dead. He's alive, but he's a dead person. He looks like he's having the happiest of times. He's jumping around, mamish, doing dancing. But you ever see a fish, Rabbi, say, out of water? Anybody see a fish out of water when it first goes out of water? It's flopping all over the place. It looks like mamish downtown, Yerushalayim, late at night. He's doing the flip-flop, a new one. Mamish moving back and forth. Mamish, the greatest dancer, the new fish dance. But everybody knows, Rabbi, say, what's going on with that fish at that moment? He's dancing, mamish. He's dying, Rabbi. The fish is in a status of death at that moment. He's on his way to death. He's dancing, jumping, flipping. Dead. Because he's not, he doesn't have the real sustenance. So people could be moving around, jumping, look to our naked eye as living, but they're existing, Rabbi Yisrael. Real life is missing from them. And this was, now that we understand the Torah, the Ketaych of life, Rabbi Yisrael, this is what Yaakov Avinu did not believe. In the same breath you said, Ha'oi Yosef Chai! Okay, that could be true. He's the ruler over where, Rabbi Yisrael? Egypt. If anybody understood what Egypt in those times were, Rabbi Yisrael, it made Ben Yehuda Street look like Meir Sharon. It was the makor of znus, of promiscuity, of znus upon znus. Chazal say that Hashem had to come down to Mitzrayim and take us out. Ani Hashem, we say in our God every year. Ani Hashem, v'loi malach, v'loi this, v'loi that. So everybody understands, it was the God, Hashem took us out of his hand. I once saw the Sipuri Maisis in the back of a God. He said, you know what the pshat is? The malachim were afraid to go down to Egypt. Gabriel, let's go downtown! Gabriel, Michael. Malachim were afraid, the tumor was so stark. Malachim were afraid that who knows what's going to happen down there. The angels. Oh boy, there were the other types of angels down there. The angels meet the angels. They were scared. The Malachim were afraid to travel into Mitzrayim. Only HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to go down and take us out because no Malach wanted to go into Mitzrayim. It's znus. So Yosef is the ruler of this country? And he's alive! Is that possible? That's what I mean. Is that possible those two things can be in the same breath? He's alive in terms of what Torah means alive. He might be physical living. You might have seen a Yosef in front of you. But how could he be alive and ruling over a country? There's a Balei Tosfos that says a tremendous chiddush. Yosef was living 22 years in Mitzrayim, Rabbi said. A small question I have. I'm going to raise my hand and ask the question. I don't understand. Yosef can't send a postcard to his father. Hi, Dad! Here in Egypt! For Beit HaZmanim! Shown by the Sphinx! On a camel ride! Side Joe! And mail it off to Egypt! Send an Instagram! Facebook it! So rather than have Facebook, Yaakov Avinu did it. He couldn't send a postcard? Hello? Cairo's beautiful! What's doing in Israel? He couldn't send a postcard? Why didn't he tell his father, send his father? What did he know? His father doesn't know he's alive. Says the Bali Toises, he was afraid to tell his father that he's an Evid in Egypt. Because he realized if he's a slave in Egypt, what's going to be with Yosef? He could tell him this and tell him that. At the end of the day, his father would have a conniptions. It's better to think he's dead, physically, and not to be an Evid in Mitzrayim, in a place of such disgusting znus. And here they come back, the brothers, and say, Yosef is alive! And he happens to be the king. How's he alive? It's not Shaykh. He's in charge of this country, Egypt. And he's alive. It's like a guy telling you, it's a Yaakov Avinu. It's like a guy telling him, coming to the Rishiva, Rebbe, this guy, he's alive! And he happens to be the bartender in Kings! He doesn't just go visit, and he's the bartender! He's alive. He's living. This was what Yaakov couldn't believe. Vayaris or Agolois, Vayidabois, called to Yosef, says Rashi, what they tell him? They told him over the sugya. That Yaakov was learning with Yosef when he left. They told him over Yosef's chidushim. They told him over Yosef's Torah. Yosef's still holding in the Torah that we spoke 22 years ago. He didn't forget the Torah. It's a riot to the Mahalach of the Yeshiva. It's 22 years of the same sugya. To the Maisa, at the end of the day, he's still holding in that, so he didn't forget the Torah that we learned. He's holding in it. But the Chiruach Yaakov of here. Yaakov has a certain surge of life. It has to be his taka alive. Because he's really living. Torah permeates him. He has Torah inside of him. He's living with Torah, his life. Yaakov Yosef's Musa to the brothers was, my father was our Rebbe. Our father was every one of us our Rebbe. And when I left him, a certain chilek of his life was cut off. The ability to teach me Torah and give over Torah, the wellsprings of Torah that he was giving over to me, were cut off. Yosef's Musa was very nice. You had a father. And very nice, my father lived in you. But Ani Yosef, Ha'oid Ovichai, there's a life that you took away from my father, the life of the Torah that he gave to me. Because in the more Torah that he taught, the more Torah that he gave over, the more life he has. Ha'oid Ovichai, my father is he alive. Your father might be alive, but is my father alive? He was missing the Torah they could have given over to me. And that you cut off from him. And that was the Musa. And this we have to realize, Rabbi Yisai. In the darkness of Golus, with the fight of the Chashmonaim, they fought. They fought for this, Rabbi Yisai. Because the Greeks, they didn't mind. We'll live. Live. Enjoy yourselves, visit the theaters, visit the clubs, party, chill, eat well, all you can eat every night, do it every night, all you can eat, stuff your bodies, stuff it up with first course, second course desserts, Viennese tables, everything, eat well. Sleep well, build that body, get involved in Olam Hazeh, enjoy it. And the Yevonim and the Chashmonaim said, no, we can't, we don't want to live that way. Because we understand, Tif, that's not existence, that's not life. We might be going around, smiling, walking around, but we're dead. Nothing's burning. That could be why the Nes was in the menorah by Isaac, to show that eternal light has to be flickered. If not, it's snuffed out. This darkness, this death. This was their battle, and this is the battle to Mashiach. This battle that everybody has to fight. The battle between good and evil. But better said, the battle between life and death. Because at the end of the day, Rabbi Sa, you and me and all us Yidin, Rabbi Sa, we were born with a neshama tehoira that has to be fed. And just like a body that nurtures if it doesn't eat and it doesn't drink for a few days, Rabbi Sa, it starts to get hunger pangs. And afterwards it gets really sick. The body can't function. He hasn't eaten in a few days. He hasn't slept. The same way, Rabbi Sa, the spiritual body must be fed. Everybody knows this. The Kuzari writes, there are three tefillas a day. Why three tefillas? So the Kuzari, kishem, that we feed our body three times a day, breakfast, lunch, and supper, Rabbi Sa. And if a guy doesn't eat lunch, he's starving when it comes to supper. And if he didn't eat supper the night before, breakfast, he has to go out for a 5-star breakfast. Poached eggs, French toast, pancakes, a hotel breakfast. If he doesn't eat breakfast, he's starving when it comes to lunch. In the same way, says the Kuzari, our neshamas need to be fed constantly. At the beginning of the day, we have to give a powerful, that's the breakfast, a powerful shachris. We've been a long time without spirituality. For many, it's been a very long time. Some 14 hours of long time. And then, in the middle of the day, when we're busy with all who knows what, and you see this sometimes, it's a powerful, like you go, I've gone to big offices of places sometimes, and they come in, and all of a sudden, they have one office I'm just thinking about right now in Brooklyn. They have a room, they built a room, a special room for davening. All of a sudden, in the middle of the day, they get together for mincha. The guy's talking about his $55 million deal, and this guy's sleeping on a Slurpee from 7 Up, from 7-Eleven, and this guy's eating, he's eating a shawarma. And they all walk into mincha. Every guy walks in there. The shawarma guy, the $55 million, and the Slurpee guy, everybody said. They all walk in there, and they daven mincha. Why? Spirituality. Get some spirituality for the day, get pumped up. And then at night, if there's a long day at work, he has to relax. He wants to put on the television and just watch. No, we gotta go out to Ma'ariv now. Another spiritual part. Why? The neshama has to be fed. If it's not fed, it shrivels up. The neshama shrivels up. And everybody tells me, Rebbe, why is it? Why is it? It's a fascinating thing. You know, when I go to Bein Hazmanim, every time I go to Bein Hazmanim, I just don't feel it. I don't feel it. I get depressed after a while. I get down. I get this. I get that. And the answer is very simple, Rabbi Sa. If you starve yourself for so many days, you come back after a while, you don't feel it. You don't feel it. I just don't feel it, Rabbi Sa. You know why? You're lost to your neshama. It's not tuned up. It hasn't had an oil change. It hasn't been given gasoline. The car won't run. And he comes back after being his mom 2-3 weeks. And even if we slept all 2-3 weeks, it would be terrible. But not only that, the boy Ray came by Mayim. I'm the Choshim Akrafim Yesh boy. He not only starved in the Shama, he put down into the Shama stuff that he can't eat. And it's vomiting. The Shama's vomiting. He comes back from Bena's Mana from a long weekend. He's throwing up. What's he throwing up, Rabbi Sa? We know what he's throwing up. This thing and that thing and that. And the Shama can't take it, Rabbi Sa. I just don't feel good. I don't know what it is. I come back from Bena's Mana. I just don't feel it. I don't feel it. I feel good. I feel depressed. I'm down. It's very simple, Rabbi Sa. The Neshama has been dead. It has been fed for days, for weeks, for months, who knows how long. 6 weeks been as man, he hasn't seen a basefa. And here he is, coming back after 6 weeks, and the spiritual ambulances are coming to the airport. here. This guy's dead. His arm is dead. His leg is dead. He's coming back. He's half dead. Physically, he's okay, but he's dead. There's nothing going on inside. There's no stir. There's no emotion. He can't look at his davar. He can't look at the tefillah. Rabbi said, why is that? He starved it. Not only starved it, he poisoned it. He poisoned his shoulders. And we don't. He doesn't feel good, Rabbi said, because we're spiritual. That's who we are. And we destroy it. Mm-hmm. A guy eats bad food, his stomach starts, is turning. He feels sick. I feel sick. We just want to throw up. Why? It doesn't agree with him, Rabbi said. This stuff, the purities, they don't agree with him. It brings death to him, Rabbi said. And the more we learn this, Rabbi said, the more we'll have real chayim, Rabbi said. We'll have chayim, Rabbi said. People don't understand this. They try to run away from it, and they don't realize they're missing out. Rabbi said, I'm not happy. Give me another drink, more vodka, more this, more that. Try this, try that. You're missing the boat, Rabbi said. It won't work! Because you're in a shama, you'll try this, you'll try that. It's not going to help. It'll be a quick fix. And everything comes back. I don't feel it. I don't feel good. I'm depressed. I'm out of it. You know why? Because there's no chiyus. Chayim! The Torah tells us it's what chayim is. Chayim chayayinu. Oy, Novi chay. Oy, Yosef chay. Batechi, Ruach Yaakov. The boy said, the sooner we learn this, we understand this, and we make a concentrated effort, the boy said, to fill us up, to satisfy the soul, the boy said. You can't not satisfy the soul. It won't work. You got to spend time every day of your life. People say, what is this? Kviyas itim la Torah every single day. Because if you don't feed it, you're going to feel sickly, the boy said. It might not be now. It's going to come out. The neshama has to be fed, the boy said. As we step out of Hanukkah, Rabbi said, the night, Zois Hanukkah, Rabbi said, we step out on this night, Rabbi said. After 7-8 days of realizing, we're lighting up that neshama, Rabbi said, a small wick, a candle, that we lit up the neshama, hopefully a little bit, and realize what they fought for, Rabbi said. This was exactly the fight. The fight was spirituality, chiyus, to live, to be able to live the real life. Now, as we step into the long winter, Rabbi Yisai, we have to realize this. If we want to be successful, if we want to feel good, if we want to feel emes achayim, Rabbi Yisai, the Torah gives the prescription, Rabbi Yisai. You can't buy it in the supermarket. You can't buy it here. You're not going to find it anywhere else, Rabbi Yisai. You can try everything and anything. It's not going to work. You're going to end up depressed, down, looking for something, for a big quick fix. It's not going to help, Rabbi Yisrael. Because the Torah, it says the prescription for life, Rabbi Yisrael. And if I don't follow that, it's a lost cause, Rabbi Yisrael. Everybody needs to feed the neshama. And we feed it with spiritual food, Rabbi Yisrael. Take a part, put your effort in, Rabbi Yisrael. Start to feel good, start to fill yourself up. All you can eat, Rabbi Yisrael, you have in the base measure every day. You don't have to pay 180 shekel for it. You come into the base measure, you have all you can eat. You have Bavli, you have Yerushalmi, you have Chumash, you have Tanakh. You have all you can eat. You can fill up in the shum in all parts. Avad, it's hard. It's not so geshmak. Avad, especially if the shum has been contaminated. So it's very hard to put the good food in, Rabbi Yisrael. But let's make that effort, Rabbi Yisrael. Let's take out the impurities. Let's get rid of the impurities. Let's feed on Hashemis. And be'ez Hashem b'suicha to the emes achayim of Boisa. Tam uru'u ki toiv Hashem ki heim chayeinu v'orach yameinu. We say it every night in Meir of Boisa. Let's believe. Let's be maimin in the words ki heim chayeinu v'orach yameinu. And b'suicha to emes achayim. B'suicha to true life. B'suicha to the life that gives happiness, that gives spirituality, that gives fulfillment to see the day when everybody will be emes achayim.